Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in the exploding cannabis marketplace. I'm Dave Jackson. Today, we're extremely excited to be joined by Chris Reventish. Chris is the CEO of 1933 Industries, Inc., one of the cannabis community's most respected and experienced names. 1933 Industries, Inc. is a vertically integrated, brand-focused cannabis company with operations in both the U.S. and Canada. The company owns leading cannabis brands, as well as leading cannabis cultivation, extraction, processing, and manufacturing assets. 1933's award-winning proprietary portfolio of brands include AMA flower and concentrates, CBD-infused Canna Hemp, Canna Hemp X, and Canna Fused, along with licensing partners Denver Dabco, Birdhouse Skateboards, Gotti's Gold, and Corrupt Moon Rocks. Chris founded Infused Manufacturing after personally developing and crafting each product with a strong belief in the natural healing properties of cannabis. He's also a seasoned cultivator and advocate for the industry in the state of Nevada. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to actually rejoin us today. Chris, you are a returning contestant on the Stock Talk podcast. Thanks for coming back to talk to us.
Dave, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
So, Chris, you've just about finished fiscal 2019, and you've had a busy 12 months. Can you bring our listeners up to date on the year so far and what's on tap for fiscal 2020?
Yeah, we have been absolutely in the trenches, just building this company from everything from new brands bringing in to new infrastructure. We've done an incredible job. We've put out some guidance on our end of our year, which was about $18 million total revenue for the year, which was almost a 50% increase year over year. The thing about that is just pure organic growth. That's us being professionals in our industry, us being professionals in the markets that we're in, and just growing. So we've proven, hey, look, you can invest in us, we'll take your money, we'll put it to good uses, and we can prove that we'll get your money back. And so 2020 for us is our year. I mean, we spent a bunch of money on a new cultivation building that we just put our first room of flowers, our first three rooms into the flowering cycle yesterday. We've spent money on enhancing our extraction facility, on building a hemp extraction lab, on developing our distribution into California and Colorado and focusing on other states as well. So just, you know, lighting all the fires and burning the tires and just really, you know, moving as fast as we can in this industry.
Pedal to the metal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no other way. This is the cannabis space, you know, there's no other way to do it. You just go all in and go as hard as you can and be smart about it. And everything will come out well.
Now, you've just announced the commencement of the flowering cycle of cannabis plants at your new purpose-built indoor cultivation facility in Vegas. Sounds exciting. Can you walk us through this stage and what it means for the company's cultivation capabilities and eventually scaling up product to market?
Yeah, look, we had our largest quarter last quarter of $5.2 million in sales, and that was with no flower sales. That was without flower because we stopped cultivating in order to move into the new building into July. And so, you know, adding this additional, you know, each zone will do, you know, 400 or so pounds. We'll be harvesting two zones a month to about 700 to 800 pounds of finished packaged flower. And so adding that to our portfolio of products that now we can go out and offer our huge distribution to the dispensaries, you know, is just going to, you know, increase our, not only our brand presence, but also that revenue that everyone's been looking for. So it's a huge start for us. And we have five zones, and we started this first zone into flower, and then each zone kicks off 2 weeks after another. So we're going to start having these perpetual harvests and maintain that. So this is a huge step. You know, anytime you get into a new building or a new infrastructure, you know, it takes time to work out the kinks. And our team has done an incredible job, you know, really stress testing the building before we brought plants in and just getting everything up to date. We've got some amazing genetics. We've got 12 award-winning cannabis cup strains from D&D Genetics that we're growing. I mean, we couldn't be more excited. And, you know, this was the first step in getting to that finished flower. And not only is that going to give us added products to our portfolio, but it's also going to help drive down our costs for our concentrates and our distillate that we make. So, you know, this is a culmination. It was a good thing to turn the lights off, right? Everybody's like, hey, yeah, I can't wait to turn the lights on. But in the cannabis space, you turn the lights off to start flowering. And so it was good to turn the lights off on this building and, you know, start this process to get us going.
Great stuff. Now, you're a fully vertically integrated company. Now, a lot of companies claim to be this. Whether or not they are is, you know, dependent on how the consumer and how things work out in the scaling and the cycle of the product. Now, can you explain to our audience how your vertical integration works and how it will equate to cost savings and what this ultimately means for investors in the end?
Yeah, look, there's different sectors in this industry. Yep. You have the cultivation of the biomass or the product or the flower. You have the extraction of it. You have the manufacturing of the products. You have the sales and distribution of it to the end consumer. And it's expensive to own all of that in a sector. So a lot of companies will say, okay, well, let's just pick one. Let's pick the brand and let's focus on the brand and we'll contract the growing and the manufacturing and the distribution and sales. Or some will say, hey, we have this brand and we own distribution and sales, but we'll contract the rest. But for us, we've got it all. We manufacture, we grow, we distribute our own product, and we sell even our CBD products direct to consumer. So if you can build it from the ground up, a product from seed to sale and own the supply chain all the way through, that's where the real revenue is. I mean, it's a young industry, right? And as these new states come online, you look at Colorado, the price of weed in Colorado is, I think, like the second lowest in the states next to Oregon. Nevada has the largest price per eighth, the second largest price per eighth, the most expensive one in all of the U.S. So you see these mature markets, how these sales erosion happens, right? And so when you're vertically integrated and you have control over the whole process, you can survive the sales erosion as this industry kind of establishes itself. So that's, since 1933, we're in a really good position in each of the markets we're in moving forward of really being a sustainable force for the long term.
Now, being brand focused means that you're part of really the most competitive sector in the cannabis space. So what separates 1933 from the competition, Chris?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the consumer is different than what it was 5 years ago. The consumer buys different. You know, we look at reviews more than anything now, right? When I go on Amazon or whatever, I go buy a product, I'm checking all the reviews, right? What are the reviews saying about this product? So we're very vocal about what we're using in our lives and how it's working, and we want to tell the world about it, right? So consumers are buying a lot different. So the one thing that has prevailed in any brand is quality. Quality will prevail. In this industry, even more so. Consistency of product will prevail. Like when the consumer can go to California and buy your product and they feel comfortable with it and they go on vacation to Vegas and they can buy your product and it's the same product, right? Starbucks might not be the best tasting coffee and it might be better coffee. But you know, if you go from Toronto to Miami, Florida to LA, it's going to be the same cup of coffee. And the consistency, right? So it's building that consumer confidence. And so that's what we have perfected ourselves with 1933 is these brands of quality products that we can duplicate this manufacturing process, this supply chain in other states to establish a nationally recognized brand of products that consumers can use from state to state, feel comfortable with, can reorder, can get it again, and can really attach themselves and integrate our products into their lives. And that's where we're winning. So that's where 1933 has really stepped apart from its competitors, is with the quality and consistency of our products.
Now, achieving that consistency is not an easy task. It's not easy for any industry.
No.
How do you guys accomplish it?
You know, it's partner selection, right? So like in California, we partnered with a cultivation and took over their operations in a management agreement to move our infrastructure and our products and our brands into the California market. And so we initially entered the California market selling our products on January 1st of 2018 and when it went adult use. But it took us 18 months to really find the right people to do business with that have the same values, same quality, same consistency, same ethics to partner ourselves with that. And the nice thing is they came to us. And so we've seen now this on multiple times, especially with like DNA Genetics, this industry leading, award-winning, strain company that has come to us and said, hey, we recognize you guys as somebody who knows what they're doing, can, you know, provide this quality, can represent our brands. And so we're seeing these partnerships really pop up. And that's key in this industry is partnering with the right people that have the same morals, same ethics, same values, same approach to the market. And, you know, that's the only way to really do it is partnership.
Chris, value and opportunity, these are industry catchphrases that tend to really get the attention of cannabis sector investors. What can you tell them that, once again, makes your company so intriguing and attractive?
Yeah, I mean, you can pull up a list of all kinds of marijuana stocks right now, and you're just scratching your head, like, what is going on, right?
And, where do I start?
Yeah, where do you start? And we're not, you know, we're with the rest of them as well. You know, we're down a bit. If you look at, you know, the last 3 months, we're down, you know, 50%, or there's a lot of them that are down 100, 200, 300%. So we're really this little resilient company and that goes. And this is why, is because we have some real substance. You look at our balance sheet. In the last 2 years, we've raised $35 million. Okay. With that, we've built $60 million in assets. We did $18 million in sales for our last year. And I have $18 million in the bank. Like, that's a pretty good use of funds, you know? So we're running a really good business. We're running a quality business with, you know, real numbers and some real depth to it. And we are absolutely undervalued. So our earnings to price is, you know, 4x. You know, you look at people that are 20, 27 times. And I think you're really seeing that correction happening. People always say, hey, 1933, this is an amazing company. Can't believe how undervalued you guys are. Can't believe how overvalued everybody else is. And maybe, Dave, just maybe we're seeing this. This is that moment in our industry where that shifts. And this is what this shift looks like. So right now is an amazing opportunity with the prices where we're at now, what we have going on as a company to invest into 1933.
Do you think it's a bargain hunter's market right now, Chris?
I think it is. You know, we want to hope for the best, but yet plan for the worst. I think that we're going to see a little bit more pressure in the sector. You know,
there are deals to be had.
There are absolutely deals to be had for sure.
Now, from an investor's perspective, can you tell us a little bit, a little background of the managerial and operational setup of the company? And, you know, how will 1933 position itself as a true industry leader?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I come from the cannabis space as well as a manufacturing background in cosmetics and product manufacturing. I'm extremely focused on utilizing those skills and abilities to this industry as far as the brand goes. The brand is what this company is focused on. We have brought in a president, Esther Vigil, who spent 17 years in the cosmetic space, developing and promoting and selling and really, you know, launching some big brands that you have now from kind of startup to what they are. So she comes with a really, really good background in what we're doing. We've got a CFO who's been with Fortune 500, Fortune 50 companies. We've got a vice president who is probably one of the best as far as the legal space goes in the cannabis industry. And then from the top down, we just have the most amazing team. Like, you look at the success 1933 has, like, I can't take credit for that. And neither can Esther, our CFO, or our board members. I mean, our board of directors. It's you know, the actual people out there grinding every day in our assets and with our brands and our companies, which we have just done an amazing job building a culture of family and of respect and of integrity and of hard work. Like, you will never meet a more group of individuals that are out there grinding. So, you know, we love this company. Everybody loves this company that works here. We have very little turnover. We're extremely diverse. And this connection that we have to the culture is what will sustain us. We believe that culture will outperform anything in a business. And, you know, that's been the secret to our success, and it will be the secret to our success going forward.
Okay. Now, as we near the end of the interview, give our investor audience as clear an indication as you can of your vision and your long-term strategy moving forward, Chris.
Yeah, look, it's in the brands. So, you know, you can go to any retailer and buy Nike socks, and, the actual physical retail location will shift and change as retail continue to do. We know the industry is heading towards a direct-to-consumer type of approach. Direct-to-delivery service is going to be big. And so that is going to be these brands that survive. So we have developed our brands. We have CanHemp that you can check out at canhemp.com. We've got our house marijuana brand called AMA. We've partnered with Tony Hawk and Birdhouse. We've partnered with Grizzly Skateboards. We've partnered with DNA Genetics, Jack Hare, you know, the big names in the industry to help promote and develop their brands as well. As well as we've got a couple other really cool products that we're working on. Our goal is to be a consumer branded good play that actually owns the infrastructure and knows how to operate it in the cannabis space. That is the future of 1933. That is what we're really good at, and we're going to stick to it. And we're going to crush it.
Well, finally, Chris, we touched briefly on the current valuation of your stock. Your last chance to speak to our investor audience directly. Why do you think it's a good buy right now?
Yeah, you're buying a company that's price per earnings is one of the on the lower end scale of the cannabis sector. You're buying into a company that has a proven track record of saying, hey, we're going to build this. We're going to turn the lights on. We're going to get it done. And they actually get it done. We're going to grow and it actually gets done. That here's money you've invested in us. Look at our balance sheet. We've used it wisely. I mean, this is a company with depth. This is a company that will continue to grow. This is a company that has standards, and we respect the money that's invested in us. And our goal here as owners of the stock as well is to get a return on that investment for us and for all of our investors.
Well, that's great news, and best of luck moving forward, Chris. And thanks again for rejoining us here at Stockhouse. We've been speaking with Chris Rebentish. He's the CEO of 1933 Industries, Inc. I'd like once again to thank Chris for spending time with us and sharing some great information about 1933 with our Stockhouse podcast listeners and investors. I'm Dave Jackson for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Cannabis Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.